You were born from love, and to love you are now returning. Like the whole of creation, love is a dynamic and ever-expanding force. In seed form it is in every heart, and from there alone can it grow. You are in your present life to develop your divine qualities and to become ever more like me. Everything that is in your life is always a gift from me and designed to teach you something. In this way, with my help, you learn to recognize the true value of things in general and also of the people in your life and your personal possessions. There is much talk of love in your world, but to this day far too many of you fail to understand the true meaning of this word. Passions, sentiments and even pity are frequently mistaken for it, but the vibration of true love can only arise from your reunion with me. It is the feeling that wells up from the innermost center of your being when you still the passions of life, and on the deepest innermost levels of your own being and all life you become at one with me. The life of the Master Jesus was written as an allegory, to demonstrate to humankind what divine love really means. On your own you can do nothing. As a spark of me, you are creative beings, and when you work on the development of the gift of my creativity, as it expresses itself in you, you will discover the joy of giving and soon know from your own experiences how giving truly is much more satisfying than receiving. On your own you can do nothing and you are nothing, but with me you are in everything and all things are possible. In every endeavor you are walking hand in hand with me, for I am the one who creates, through you, your contributions in the world I have created for all of you to share. In the fullness of time your love and mine will bring blessings and healing into the farthest and remotest corners not only of your world, but all of them. Never mind where you presently are, where you have been, where you are going to, and which degree of spiritual awareness you have reached, it really does not matter. In all your endeavors just do your best and love as much as you can. Let all your thoughts and actions towards everything and everyone be guided by nothing but love. Look around you and see how most people are struggling with their relationships. First work on healing yours, throughout making peace with yourself, with those around you and with me, for that is the main reason why another lifetime has been granted to you. Then teach others how they can do the same for themselves. As I told you before, your character determines your destiny, and if you work sufficiently on improving yours, your present lifetime may well turn out to be the last one that is required by you in physicality. From previous lives all of you brought negative and destructive thought and behavior patterns into this one. And every soul has the same chances of changing them now into creative and positive ones by diligently applying itself to this task. For all who get this right, it may turn out that life in physicality cannot teach you any more, in which you will be allowed to move on to lessons of higher learning on different levels of life. In view of this, every soul has brought some of their oldest and the most problematic conflict and discord-laden relationships with them into this lifetime, as this creates many opportunities for resolving them and making peace with each other. Leaving behind any unresolved issues and relationships will necessitate further lifetimes of coming together, in the hope of eventually settling your affairs and learning your lessons. Therefore, my children, bearing in mind who you truly are and why you are in this life, choose wisely, focus on what is now at stake, and always work with love in your hearts towards a peaceful outcome in everything. The desire nature, Mars, the planet of desire, rules the astrological sign Aries. It also co-rules, together with Pluto, the sign Scorpio. These planets and the two signs are configured somewhere in everybody's birth chart. This is an indication that the desire nature is strong in each one of you. Mars is the force, the energy that once brought you onto the earth plane, with the burning desire to experience life in physicality in order to find out what experiences it has to offer human souls that will expand their consciousness and help them to grow. Desire is at the basis of all life, and the energies of the planet Mars are the pure creative/spiritual/sexual ones that fuel all your desires. As you know, there are a great many. In the first sign of the zodiac, Aries, human souls come into being and all their desires and interests are still focused on themselves. They are propelled into life by the desire to build themselves an earthly personality that will help them to carve out a niche for themselves and maintain it. In the second sign, Taurus, the desire for all the good things of the earth and especially earthly possessions are explored. In the third sign, Gemini, the soul concentrates this precious energy onto developing its abilities to communicate. In the fourth sign, Cancer, it learns the value of home, mother and tradition. In the fifth sign, Leo, it becomes aware of itself and its own creative powers. And so forth. At present, all of you are struggling with resolving your most difficult karmic relationships, as well as with the karma of your whole world. Without exception, each one of you created these difficulties through the behavior patterns which, to this day, are displayed by young and inexperienced souls on the earth plane who are born into Aries and Scorpio. If you wish to learn about the way you once were, pay attention to the behavior patterns described in the Sun in Aries and the Sun in Scorpio. That is how each one of you behaved in earlier lifetimes, even if during this one you behave like an angel, a true lady or gentleman with the highest moral standards and ideals. Pretending these things never existed will get you nowhere. Facing up to everything that is inside you is better by far. Because it was created by you, with my help, take responsibility for your life and everything that is in it, including your less pleasant characteristics. They are still a part of you, but now they are waiting to be shed once and for all. Yet, before this can be done, you first have to own up to them and accept them. By no means does this make any human soul into a miserable sinner, as some to this day would like to make you believe. Earthly life is a place of learning and each one of you is on an evolutionary pathway. In this school there are no sinners and no losers, only students. For as long as you are willing to learn and grow through every experience, you will always gain something. Man-made and natural disasters, as you know by now, I have always accompanied you through all your experiences, good and bad alike. I was there with you, even if for a very long time you did not know that this is so. Nothing was ever beyond my will or out of my control. Everything that ever took place on the earth plane did so for wise reasons, namely to teach you and your world some crucial lessons. I sense the responses that are coming from many earthly minds in response to this. They are saying, "And what about times of tyranny, wars, holocausts, man-made and natural disasters, ranging from the torture of individuals, to mass exterminations? My beloved children of the earth, such things too have been and still are part of your curriculum." More of this in a moment, but first I wish to repeat what I told you in the Labors of Hercules about the year 2012. Nothing out of the ordinary is going to happen in 2012. Look around you and see the profound changes that are now taking place in your world. Its evolutionary march forward is unstoppable and progressing well. This will continue in the year 2012 and beyond, the same as it is doing now and the way it was always done. Your world is changing rapidly before your very own eyes. In the year 2008, an important part of this was the new president of the USA. He brought with him a renewal of hope for your world. He, the same as everybody else, is guided by me and the angels. Never doubt that you and your world are resting safely in my loving hands. From time to time throughout the ages, I have given to you and your world new legends about prophets, seers and sages, who genuinely had the good of humankind at heart. Among them are the ones about the Lord Buddha, the Master Jesus and the Prophet Muhammad, to name but three. Gullibility has always been a problem in earthly life, and to this day, some assume the role of soothsayers who are only too happy to take advantage of this. Did you know that sooth is an old-fashioned word for truth? Alas, on your present level of life it is still in the nature of things that the predictions of these people grow ever wilder, the more those around them believe in them and clamor for more. You can observe for yourselves how, when the masses show through their reactions how frightened they are, the forecasts of the professional gloom and doom-mongers in your midst take on an ever more outrageous and less likely to be true coloring. You have to bear in mind that oracles of this nature, of past and present, still lack all sense of responsibility for their creations, which are their forecasts. Negative karma is created through causing suffering and pain to any of my creatures. Little do your fortune tellers know that they, the same as every other soul, are directly responsible to me for every single one of their thoughts, words and actions. If they knew that instilling fear, especially the fear of God, into people's souls is a spiritual crime that weighs more heavily than many others, they would soon turn the focus of their attention to more positive aspects of life. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. Through Isaiah 55:7-11 I told you, let the sinner forsake his way and the wicked man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not like your thoughts, neither are my ways like your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and returns not thither, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall do what I please and it shall accomplish that for which I sent it. The book of Isaiah is one of the major prophetical writings of the Old Testament, which dates back several hundreds of years before the birth of the legend of the Master Jesus. The prophecies I gave to you at Isaiah's time were as much of my wisdom and truth as your race could in those days be expected to cope with. Yet, my dear children, measuring your progress on the evolutionary scale, your understanding of the concepts of the life and the times of the Jesus myth has come a very long way. That is why by now not merely a selected few but a great many are ready to grasp that in truth I experience and get to know myself through you and that at all times I create through you. You are in me and I am in you, you are me and I am you, and your dreams and visions are mine. Throughout the ages, unbeknown to you for a very long time I have been dreaming through you. At once you are the dreamer and the dreamed. From the beginning I knew that it would take an exceedingly long time until you, individually and collectively as a race, had become sufficiently grown in understanding to grasp the nature of your own being. As mentioned earlier, each one of you has always been and will continue to be in all eternity to be a transmitter and receiver station for my thoughts, ideas and dreams. Potentially, each one of you is a channel through which I am ready to release ever more of my wisdom into your world. The amount and depth of it depends on the degree of spiritual maturity and understanding the receiving person can sensibly be expected to cope with at any given time. Do not be disturbed by the fact that at the beginning of the Aquarian Age many will have difficulties to accept that the spiritual knowledge I am imparting to your world through Aquarius and all others who are ready to receive them, are my truth. The inability to perceive such matters is but one of the passing phases of humankind's earthly education, which every soul for itself has to undergo. Eventually, all who are presently taking part in it will be able to receive my messages directly and distribute them, the way people like Aquarius and many others are already doing. Those who object to the positive visions of the year 2012 I am presenting through them would do well to ponder on the following questions. Why should this perception be less valid than the negative ones of the past and present which, for far too long, have been pumping ever-increasing amounts of negative thoughts to the pool of consciousness of your world, which has been overfull for far too long? Do you not know that thought is the most powerful force in the whole of creation? That your thoughts create your reality and that you are responsible towards me for each one of them? Moreover, do you not like the idea of a peaceful world? Do you not want to do your share of building an ever better and more peaceful one by thinking positively? Or are you too addicted to your negative thinking patterns that you are unwilling to exchange your highly destructive view of 2012 into a constructive one? The insights I once gave to your world through the legends of the lives of the Lord Buddha and the Master Jesus remain as valid now as they always have been and forever will be. The only way of freeing yourselves from the wheel of rebirth into earthly life and creating a peaceful world is through taking charge of the drives and urges of the lower animal nature of your small earthly selves, especially your earthly mind. Learning how to control and discipline its thoughts, words and actions into good, right and positive ones and that at all times, is every soul's main task on the earth plane. All the disasters that have ever taken place in your world were created by the accumulated mass of human negative thinking and the vicious words and actions that resulted from them. Know that you are responsible for every part of your being and especially your thoughts and conduct your lives accordingly. Thoughts are part of the greatest and the most powerful force in the whole of creation and you are answerable to me not only for yourselves, but also for the whole of your world. Although for a very long time you were unaware of this, through negative and destructive thinking you yourselves have been the makers of all the wars the earth plane has seen and is experiencing to this day. Even the events you still regard as natural disasters are brought about in the same manner, through thinking. The only way of preventing the sad catalogue of wars and disasters repeating themselves endlessly in future lifetimes is by altering your individual thinking patterns into positive and constructive ones. Now, a constant and conscious effort is required from each one of you to guide your thoughts, when they are trailing off into the old patterns, so you can focus them on that which you know to be good, beautiful and right in your world. As you know by now, in accordance with my universal laws, every thought and action inevitably brings you its just results and rewards. In every lifetime, your thoughts and actions are the seeds you sow on the earth plane, from which your future life grows. Whatever you find in the present is the result of your planting in previous lives. So, if in future ones you hope to return to a peaceful place, where sickness, violence and crime are no longer known, do not hesitate to make the necessary changes right here and now. Is there really chaos on the earth? Although on its surface it may often appear to be so, I assure you that nevertheless all life on this plane, the same as on all others, has always proceeded in a most orderly fashion and in accordance with my plan. On the inner levels, my eternal realm, in spite of all humankind's beliefs to the contrary, the reins of every aspect of the whole of my creation have never slipped from my hands. This applies to the parts that are visible to human eyes and also the invisible ones. I alone have the great plan of life and everything within it unfolds by it, in accordance with my design, will and wishes. No force exists that is outside of me or beyond the reach of my power. You may find this hard to grasp now, but it has always been humankind's great lust for power that showed itself in the culmination of the above-described events. Why did I allow them to happen? Because as my children and young gods in the making, each one of you must eventually realize your utter dependence on me and my resources, that on the earth, the same as in the rest of the whole of creation, you cannot achieve anything on your own and that without me you are nothing. All must wake up to the fact that your lives have to be conducted in keeping with my universal laws and that your strong self-will and small ego has to be willingly surrendered onto me and my will. In the book of Genesis 1:28 I told you, and God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild beasts that move upon the earth." From the evidence you can see all around you in your world, you can surely see for yourselves by now that this is a metaphor which, like so many others, has been misinterpreted. My intention never was to provide your race with a carte blanche for subduing your planet and raping it of all its precious resources. I tolerated it because I knew that you could only learn through your own experiences what this would eventually lead to. You are on the earth to seek dominion over your own lower earthly nature, but not over the planet who so kindly is providing you with a home as well as a place of learning, for a time, neither over its people and nations or even its animals. Human life has evolved through the animal kingdom and is therefore an integral part of it. That is why your small earthly self is subject to the same desires, drives and urges as all the other animals, and because on the inner level of life all is one, in truth the animals are your brothers and sisters. Before harming any of my creatures, you do well to remind yourselves from now on that in coming lifetimes you will have to live with the consequences of your thoughts, words and actions, because you are fully accountable for each one of them. You can read more about this theme in the chapter Let Them Have Dominion with a link provided below. Part 5. Humankind's Lust for Power. You are aware by now that the same powers that are in me are also in you. Every soul can only get to know the creative and destructive force of the powers inside you through its own first-hand experiences. The masculine in me and also in you, women and the men alike, is the power aspect. In me this part naturally dominates its feminine counterpart, the goddess, the love and wisdom aspect of me. She is part of me and I am part of her, we are one and inseparable. To develop the male aspect of humankind, in your world the male of the species for a very long time has been seeking dominion over the women in their lives. My feminine aspect willingly subjects itself to my masculine counterpart. Make no mistake about it, the masculine in both genders craves power. In the long course of the evolution of your race, human desires and appetites for dominion and power over others grew ever larger and the more ludicrous. Individually and as a race, you eventually reached the evolutionary stage when power over small numbers of people was no longer enough to satisfy this urge. You wanted more of it, over whole nations of people and their countries, eventually whole continents and, humankind's greatest dream, over the whole earth. To stop anyone from condemning the male gender, let me remind you that to receive a well-rounded, balanced and fully comprehensive education, it is necessary that in some lifetimes you come as women and in others as men. Every soul has to go through the whole gamut of earthly experiences, sometimes at the receiving end and at other time the receiving one. The most basic one of these lessons is the handling of energies of the planet of desire, Mars, the god of war of antiquity. In its most basic expression on the earth plane, Mars is a force, a drive that makes souls who are still inexperienced on this level of life feel and shout loudly, I want, 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 and I want it now. If anything gets into the way of the force of the Martian desires by refusing to do as such a soul wants, the unwilling ones get suppressed, shouted down, bullied and, if need be, in some other way still manipulated into submission. At worst, Mars walks over dead bodies to get what it wants. It goes to war and unthinkingly destroys everything that does not surrender itself to its will. Aryans are quite capable of doing this with any of the objects of their desires. Mars energy moves the newly created divine spark onto the earth plane where it is needs to build itself an earthly personality. By each soul dwelling in its own physical body, it begins to recognize and experience itself as an individual. With the help of its developing earthly personality, the soul finds itself a place in its new environment. It maintains this place by bursting forth with all its youthful vigor and vim and the enthusiasm for the enjoyment of life that is typical of the fire element and the signs it rules. Mars is a force that in young soul expresses itself like a wild mustang that has to be caught, tamed and harnessed before it can be ridden wisely. To master this energy, the same as all others, every human soul must spend sufficient lifetimes on the earth plane. Eventually there comes the time when you are ready to learn how to conquer and dominate this part. By riding on the desires of your highest self, that is following the directions of me, your inner teacher, back home into the oneness with me. Reaping the whirlwind, it is in the nature of all education that the older pupils have to tackle more demanding lessons than the younger ones. The same is true for soul age. The more experienced your race grew, the more severe your schooling became and the more grueling its tests and trials. Yet, they were never randomly dished out. The only decisive factor for the severity of the lessons your whole world had to undergo was the karma that had been created by you and your race, individually and collectively. This part of your evolution is behind you now, and more peaceful times are ahead for those who are ready to respond to my call and are willing to do their share of helping others with their awakening into their true nature. First of all, they too have to be made familiar with the fact that they are responsible for every one of their actions. You need to explain to them that this is due to the workings of the law of karma, and that, because of this law, every action causes a reaction. For every one of your actions you are responsible. Though unbeknown to you for a very long time, you are constantly living by the consequences of your actions. This applies to every individual as it does for groups, organizations, nations, and also your whole world. It is one living and breathing organism, and each one of you is an integral part of it. All parts have their role to play and are of equal importance. Individually and collectively, your thoughts create your reality, and hateful thinking is the original cause of conditions like wars, holocausts, man-made and natural disasters, ranging from the torture of individuals, to mass exterminations. Souls who incite others to commit detestable actions are eventually held responsible not only for their own thoughts, but also for the thoughts they have sown into the minds of those around them. Being accountable, in the fullness of time they will have to make some major contribution towards the well-being of your race and world, until the debts they have incurred in the spiritual ledger of life have been paid in full. As far back as the times of the Old Testament, I warned you through Hosea 8:7, they have sown the wind and they have reaped the whirlwind. It has no stalk, nor an ear to yield meal, and if it were to yield, the strangers shall eat it. This teaching has not just one but two hidden meanings. The first is the message of the law of karma, which we already talked about. The second one indicates that the force of what you create through your thoughts and actions will always increase, gathering ever more strength and momentum. The dictum that practice makes perfect applies to all aspects of life on all its levels. The more you work on something, anything, the better you become at it. By now, you know that you are part of me as much as I am part of you. On your own you are nothing and certainly cannot create anything, but as co-creators with me, within reason and with my help and will, all things are possible and anything can be created. As living parts of the ever-expanding universal energies, you are expansive and dynamic beings. This expresses itself in abstract as well as invisible terms, and given time all your creations enlarge. This shows in the way you learn. The more you do so, the more your consciousness expands, the more you give the more you receive, and so forth. This principle applies to everything you send out into our world, and it is well worth your while to carefully watch every one of your thoughts, words and actions. The knowledge of these things puts you in charge of your destiny, because this way you can indeed ensure that only the right things return to you. Whatever you create, for good and evil, more of the same must inevitably flood back to you. Love creates ever more love, but so does everything else. Let no one try to fool themselves. On the spiritual level of life, cheating does not exist, and escape from the unerring justice of my universal laws is impossible. The more the human soul becomes aware that I am always with you and that therefore nothing can get away from the influence of my all-seeing eye, the more likely it is that such a soul is going to make a real effort to live with honesty and integrity. And this is how, through everybody's own efforts, the course of each individual destiny changes, and through this, also that of whole nations and worlds. Older and younger souls, whatever your problems may be, I am waiting for you to call on me to help you solve them. I am with everybody, including all those who do not even know that this is so. But, once any soul reaches out for me, it does not take long until it discovers that its earthly life is beginning to flow with much more ease. Up to the time of their awakening, however, souls are constantly in danger of asking the wrong things from their lives. They expect that life should be their servant when, in truth, all of you have been placed on the earth to serve the life that I have created for you. Ignorant of this and my cosmic laws, young and inexperienced souls wish that life should instantly fulfill all their desires. My laws ensure that this does not happen and that all human souls must have some input into life before they can expect to get anything of value from it. For as long as you fail to understand the spiritual background and the foundations of life, you keep on changing your mind. You do this because you do not yet know what is truly good for you, what serves your greatest joy and your highest good, namely your spiritual development. Young and inexperienced souls still have thousands of desires that are expressed all too happily. It is good and right that you should have them. But expecting that all your whims should be satisfied is utter folly.